Today is very good class. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Notice this. It was 1914. Woodrow Wilson declared Mother's Day to be a national holiday. It had been celebrated for several years in the past, but this was the first time nationally it was celebrated. Think about that. 111 celebrations of Mother's Day since then. That's a lot of celebration, is it not? This day is supposed to be the celebration of mothers, and mothers are important. In fact, the next points that I'm about to give you were almost the lesson. Okay? Mothers are women who bear children. There ain't no such thing as a man bearing children, folks. That just can't happen. Women bear children, don't they? Mothers are women who sometimes adopt children. Mothers are women who have children and grandchildren and perhaps even great-grandchildren. We've got some folks in this audience who are getting old enough to have great-great-great-great-grandchildren. We've got some older folks in here. We've got about five or six members of this congregation that are over 90 years old. That's amazing, isn't it? Mothers can also have a major influence in the lives of children who are not even their own. Maybe some of us have a woman or two in our lives and we look upon that individual and may even almost refer to her as mother because she's been so important to us. They are truly a gift from God. They bring their children into the world. They nurture their children until those children become responsible adults. They train their children, become responsible citizens of the United States of America. They protect their children from the evils and the wickedness of this world. They raise their children to know God, His Son, the truth, and His precious church that was purchased with His blood. These mothers set before their children a wonderful example of what it is to be not only a woman, but also a Christian woman. They love their children's father, and they do all that they can to make certain that he, if at all possible, can excel in this life. That was almost my sermon today. So you're getting about five sermons, okay? The title of the sermon today, though, is this: Memories of My Mother. Notice that little word, my. There she is, my mama. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about my mother. I promise you that will be the only picture you will see of her in the course of this lesson. Now, if you want to see my grandchildren, see me afterwards. My mother's name was Mary Hazel Eskew. Some of you have met my mom in times past. My mother was born on March 31st, 1937. Her father was Aubrey Chester and her mother was Beatrice Chester. I was kind of glad none of our kids got Beatrice. She had two brothers. They were both older. One was named Raymond. One was named Wayne. She grew up on a small farm in Camden, Tennessee. That's about an hour to an hour and a half, just a little bit north of Jackson, Tennessee. She completed high school. She completed 2 years of college at Lambeth in Jackson, Tennessee. She married my father on August the 16th, 1958. She worked 30-plus years at a small glass company called Neary Glass Company in Memphis. She retired. She got bored. She went back to work and worked at a real estate agency until she could no longer work. And Mom passed from this life on September 25th, 2018, one day after Kathleen and I's anniversary. Mom. got about 5 or 6 points to talk to you about. Number one, Mom loved to travel. The only reason I put that in is because she did. Okay. I remember when I was a child, we always went on a vacation. My dad had 2 weeks that he would take off, and the very day he got off, the Friday we got off, the little camper was packed, the station wagon was packed, and off we went. We didn't go very far, land between the lakes, went to the beach, went to the Smoky Mountains, went to Washington, D.C., but we spent the entire 2 weeks doing something during the summer. It was a highlight, and my mother loved every minute of it. When the kids finally left home, they sold the camper, and they started traveling around the United States in a bus. They got to sleep not in a camper, but in a hotel, much better than the old hot camper. My mom and dad did that for years and years. My dad passed away in 1997, and my mother then started traveling more with her friends. She had several that she would travel with, and she traveled throughout the entirety of the world. On one occasion, she took me on a trip. I've talked to you about it a little bit. We went to Greece, the footsteps of Paul, and it is a trip that will never, ever be forgotten, never. And to this day, I share my mother's love for travel. If I had enough money, if you want to share some with me, you can. I'd just quit and travel the world. There's a lot to see, isn't there? There's a lot to see in the United States. There's a lot to see in the world, folks. And my mother loved to go all the time. So enough of that. That's just extra, okay? Let's talk about my mom as a mom. Number one, my mom deeply cared for her children. She had three, me, my brother, and my sister. And I know that she cared because, number one, she cooked for us all the time. There was never a morning through the school year that she didn't get up and cook breakfast. I mean, it was only occasionally that she would leave a box of cereal on the table and say, "Here it is." Nah, she cooked. Eggs, bacon, sausage, biscuits, gravy. Maybe now some of you know why I eat that stuff all the time. She not only did that, but she fixed us lunch, and at 6 o'clock every night, supper was on the table. No ifs, ands, or buts. My mom was the nurse for the family. If we were sick, Mom was there. If we were injured, Mom was there. If we needed to go to the doctor, Mom was there. If we had to go to the hospital, she took us to the hospital. If she had to stay overnight, she stayed overnight with us. Mom was the nurse of the family. She was the counselor as well. My mom did all that she could to give us good advice with regard to how to live our lives in this world. And she was an encourager. It didn't matter what we wanted to do, she encouraged us to the best of her ability. I played baseball when I was little. I played the guitar. I played the piano. I played football. I was involved in scouts. It didn't matter what we wanted to do. She encouraged us to try anything and everything while we were young. And as I was thinking about Mom's care for us, there was two verses that came to mind in Proverbs 31. The text of the virtuous woman. Notice what the text says. She is like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and prepareth meat for her household. My mother was always the first up and the last to go to bed until we got to be teenagers. All the time. She burned a candle at both ends. Isn't that what we say? Another passage in that text, verse 26, says this. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. My mom was one of the kindest women I know. Now, if she ever got on your bad side, you knew it. She'd let you know it. But she was a kind, sweet woman giving her advice to you. My mother cared deeply for her children. Second point, my mom worked to provide for us. My parents weren't wealthy by any means. My father was a journeyman electrician. My father also had his heating and cooling license. He worked for the city of Memphis. Had good benefits, but it didn't pay a whole lot. So my mother had to go to work. And like I said, she worked as a bookkeeper at Neary Glass Company for over 30 years. Same job. We encouraged her to go out. FedEx started in Memphis. Mom, go to FedEx. You'll make a lot more money. Nah, I like Neary Glass. And she stayed there until that company went out of business and worked every day, 40 hours a week. It wasn't just a part-time job. It was 40 hours a week. But here's something interesting. My mother never, ever forsook her motherly duties and obligations to us and the household because she worked. She made sure, like I said, we had breakfast, she fixed our lunch, and we had supper. She washed and she dried our clothes. She made sure the house was clean. She took us to the doctor. She made certain that we got our homework and she helped us with that homework. And this was always fun. She shelled peas, she shucked corn, she peeled potatoes, she scraped carrots, she washed greens, and she even fried the fish that we caught. Mom was a mom. She grew up on a farm, and that's all she knew. It was just plain everyday living, folks. And my mom did that. Again, verses from the virtuous woman. She worketh willingly with her hands. Proverbs 30, verse 13. Notice this one. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Proverbs 31, verse 17. And another verse. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. I very seldom saw my mom sitting down. Saturdays from 4 o'clock in the afternoon till 8 at night, she and my daddy sat down. Y'all know why? If you lived back then, you should have known why. Country and Western music from 4 to 8. They took over our television and it became their television. If you wanted to watch TV, you listen to country music. Point number three, my mom did not ever need to be served. Mom was never a person who asked a lot of things from other people. Folks, our world is changing today, isn't it? And today we have a lot of individuals in our world who think that they need to be served rather than serving. Not my mom. My mom always wanted to be doing things for other people. And it started early. I had an uncle who divorced at a very young age and he had three little children. Four children, two boys and two girls. Two were so young they could go into foster care. Two, however, had to go into a children's home in Memphis. And every time there was visitation, guess who was there? My mother. And she made certain we went. When those two girls who were in the children's home could come to visit, they came to our house and stayed with us. And those four kids, even though my mom's gone, love her like a mother, even to this day. A servant. My grandmother, the last three or four years of her life were not easy. She's continued to live in Camden. It was about 2.5 hours away from Memphis. My mother would get off work at 4:30 on Friday. Off to Camden she went. And she was there until Sunday evening. She would drive back home, work another 40 hours, back to Camden. She would do that two or three times a month for about 4 years of her life, taking care of guess who? Of her mom. That was also a great servant. She coordinated activities for older ladies, not just at the Knight Arnold congregation, but for members of the Church of Christ, older members of the Church of Christ throughout the entirety of Memphis. There was about 40 of them. Every month there was an activity that they went to, a movie, a play, a restaurant, something. She sent out the invitations. She scheduled all the times that they went on a regular basis. Every month she did that. She was also a great friend to many of the preacher students at the Memphis School of Preaching. There's usually around 35 or 40 students at the School of Preaching at any time. She'd get to know two or three of them, and she'd encourage them, she'd help them. If they needed assistance, she would provide that on numerous occasions. Two verses came to my mind as I was thinking about this particular point about my mom, and one of them is Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love do what? Serve one another. On one occasion, Jesus was talking to His disciples. He was talking to them about the Gentiles and how the Gentiles loved power and they loved authority and they loved individuals to bow down to them. And Jesus begins with these words, "But it shall not be so among you." But listen to what He says. "But whosoever will be what? Great among you, he shall be your minister. And whosoever will be chiefest shall be servant of all." My friends, our Lord taught individuals, you are not here to be served by others. We are here to be servants, aren't we? My mother was a great example to us. My mom did not drink. My mom did not smoke. And I can never remember hearing my mother cussing. Never. My mom always attended worship services. As long as she was able and healthy, always at services. AM service, Bible class, PM service, Wednesday night, gospel meetings, vacation. It didn't matter what it was, folks. Mom was going to be at the worship services of the church. They were important. Mom seldom, if ever, griped or complained about anything. She had quite a few friends. She loved to laugh. She loved to have a lot of fun. And guess where Thanksgiving and Christmases were? Every year. They were at two people's houses, two moms. My mom's and Kathleen's mom's. They were the matriarchs. We go to my mom's in the morning, Kathleen's at night, or vice versa. And you'd go, and guess what? It wasn't ordered food. It was prepared food. They've been preparing for us to be there for weeks on end. She'd cook it and freeze it, cook it and freeze it. Pies, cakes, appetizers, all kinds of stuff. She could make the best tuna fish. Oh, goodness gracious. That was one of the appetizers. She could make fantastic pimento cheese, one of the appetizers. She and Kathleen's mom both could make unbelievable dressing, and they knew we loved that stuff. She used to make giblet gravy for that stuff, and we didn't like all the giblets, whatever was in there. And so mama started taking the giblets out, and it started tasting good then. We still call it giblet gravy, but she said, no, she said, that's just really gravy. But it was good. When I think about that, I think of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul's talking to Timothy, said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." Now listen to what he says. "Which dwelled first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." My friends, the reason children oftentimes are faithful is because of what? Is because their parents were faithful. They set the example. They gave their children the pattern. and their children had something to follow. And I'm thankful that my mother was a good example to us. Another point. My mom lived a life with no regrets. My mom and dad's marriage was not always the easiest marriage. I've talked about this a little bit with regard to my dad. My dad was a manic depressive. He was bipolar. And back then, nobody diagnosed that kind of stuff. And you didn't want to think that anything was wrong with you, because if they did, they'd just put you in an institution, lock you away, call you a crazy person, wouldn't they? He was in his 40s before he was diagnosed with manic depression. Well, by the time they had diagnosed him, he was also an alcoholic. Because when he was going into depression, he would drink alcohol thinking that would make him feel better. That's sad, isn't it? My dad had tons and tons and tons of health problems. When my dad was in his upper 20s, he had a ruptured ulcer. And he got put into the hospital for about 2 weeks. And he lost a major business that he and another man owned at the time. My dad had 4 back operations. My father had 1 brain operation. He was at work and acid poured into his eyes. He had to be rushed to the hospital. He was at work and he burned his feet severely, had to be rushed to the hospital. He was at work, fell off a ladder, rushed to the hospital. 2 bouts of severe shingles. I remember seeing my dad go out to a garage with no shirt on, and those shingles would be wrapped around half of his body, and he would just stand in front of a fan because he couldn't hardly stand it. They were burning so badly. He had high blood pressure all of his life, and he was diagnosed and died with emphysema. I don't know about you, that's a lot of stuff. You know it? And those kind of things take a toll, do they not? On not only the individual, but also on the spouse who is trying to take care of that individual. My dad wasn't a violent person, but he could be sometimes mean with his speech. He could be blunt. He could be sharp. He could be direct. He could just cut you to the heart. Out of here. I'm leaving. She could have had peace. She wouldn't have to worry about all that stuff anymore. My mother's in relatively good health at the time. And you'd ask her, especially my brother, he would go to her and say, "Mom, why in the world do you just keep putting up and putting up and putting up with this stuff?" And her answer was always the same. "When I get to the end of my life, I do not want to have 1 regret." It's hard to keep that kind of a focus, is it not, all your life when things are just constantly happening to you. I sincerely believe that my mother loved my father immensely. And she practiced Proverbs 31, 11, and 12. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, not evil, all the days of his life." My mom did that until my father passed away in 1997. Mom had a good and honest heart. My mother didn't grow up in the church. My mother grew up as a Methodist. And if you knew my grandmother, you would say she was a staunch Methodist. They came around on one occasion asking for donations at the Methodist church, so they could put a new baptistry in. Oh, my grandmother went berserk.
I ain't putting no baptistry down there. I'm not paying for no baptistry. She said, you put a sprinkler in, I'll pay for it. She was a staunch believer in sprinkling instead of immersion. So my mother grew up in that kind of a house. My father was a member of the church when they married, but he was not a faithful member of the church at the time. And all of a sudden, within about 2.5 to 3 years, they had me and my sister. And they both knew that they needed to have religion in the lives of their children. So what did they do? Well, they started attending the Methodist Church. I'll never forget it. Aldersgate Methodist Church. It was right around the corner from our house. We went there for about a year or two, and my father, being a member of the church, having been raised in the church, knowing the truth, he said, I just can't do this anymore. So they compromised, and they went to the Christian church. That Christian church was located on Knight Arnold Road in Memphis, Tennessee. In fact, I believe it was called the Knight Arnold Christian Church. When my mother was attending that particular church, she learned the doctrine of baptism for the remission of sins. And she obeyed that truth of the gospel in the Christian church. We went there for about 3 or 4 years, I guess, and my father finally said, you know, I can't do this either. I know what the truth is. We need to find a Church of Christ. About a quarter mile down the road was the Knight Arnold Church of Christ, home of the Memphis School of Preaching that I graduated at in 1982. Okay? But that's where they started attending. After I started preaching and started studying, I was sincerely convinced that the Scriptures teach that you need to know more than just you're being baptized for the remission of sins at your baptism. What I believed was this: you need to know that the moment that those sins are forgiven and you come up out of the waters of baptism, guess what God does? God adds you to His church, the true church, the one church. You might ask, why do I believe that? There's several passages. Acts 8 verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 12, Acts 2 verse 47. Acts 8 12, Philip was in the city of Samaria, preaching Christ unto that city. And in verse 12, the Bible says this: and when they believed Philip, now listen to what they believed. When they believed Philip, preaching things concerning the name of Jesus Christ. Folks, that's the authority of Jesus. And the things attached to His authority. We're to be baptized how? In the name, by the authority of Jesus Christ. But that's not all they believed. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Those individuals knew something about what? The kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those individuals knew that the moment they came up out of the waters of baptism, they became citizens of the kingdom of God. They became members of the church of God. They were added to the precious body of Jesus Christ. And I asked my mom, Mom, did you know that? Did you understand when you were baptized that the Lord added you to the one true church? But Vic, I was baptized for the remission of sins. But Vic, I was baptized for the remission of sins. I told her, I said, but Mom, you didn't have any understanding at all about the kingdom. None. And the trouble that I had was this: would the Lord add a person to something that they don't even know exists? They have no comprehension of it, no understanding of it whatsoever. And you wake up 20, 30, 40 years down the road, and all of a sudden you say, oh, well, I didn't know that. The Lord added me to the church. Well, what you been doing all these years? I don't know how long it was, several years. I get a phone call from Mom. Hey, Vic. I was baptized for the forgiveness of my sins today. And the Lord added me to His church. She had gone down without, she didn't call me before. We hadn't talked about it in several months. She'd gone down to the Get Well Church of Christ. Talked to Brother Laws, that was the minister there, and he baptized her on that particular day. There's something that Jesus refers to in the parable of the sower called a good and honest heart, doesn't he? But that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Good and honest hearts don't rebel against the truth. Took my mom a little while. It sure does bring comfort to my mind, knowing that she did what she knew needed to be done. I was blessed to have a good mom. I notice I said a good mom. I didn't say a what? I didn't say a perfect mom. My mom wasn't perfect. But guess what? She was patient. She was kind. She was loving. She was honest. She was blameless. And notice that last part. She took the practice of her Christianity seriously, folks. This is not a game. It is my life. At least it's supposed to be. She loved the Lord. She loved my dad. She loved her family. And she definitely loved her church family. I want to close with Proverbs 31:28. Because that's what I've been trying to do today in this lesson. The Bible says this, her children will rise up and call her blessed. Isn't that the truth? Everyone who has good mothers look back upon their life and all that their moms did for them, and they rise up and they praise them, don't they? We need more moms in this world setting the example for children in this world, especially as to how to live their life faithfully for the Almighty God. If you're here today and haven't obeyed the gospel, we want you to. Do you have a good and honest heart? What does the Bible tell us to do? Believe in the Christ as the Son of God. Repent of our sins. Confess the name of Jesus. And be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2 verse 38. Maybe you're not a faithful Christian. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to rededicate your life. Fully give your heart, soul, mind, and strength to His service. You just need the prayers of this congregation. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.
Wonderful story of...